Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 159, episode 2 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, November 10th, 2020, 71 days until January 20th, but who's counting? My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Now, this is a story all about how Pennsylvania turned blue, flipped upside down, and I'd like to do this intro, so sit right there. I'll tell you how this became the place that turned around this affair. In West Philadelphia, the difference was made, where they kept counting ballots and it lasted for days. Counting all the votes, them relaxing all cool, because the ballots that were mailed in were just as valid too. Then a campaign of lies, they were up to no good. Started filing lawsuits in the neighborhood. They lost just one little fight and Donald got scared. He said, fuck this shit, I won't leave and I don't even care. That's it. Shout out to Chris Young. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. I'm so fucking tired, y'all, from fucking years of doing this show. I'm gonna have a good podcast, a.k.a. to start the next one. I'm tired.
Yeah, I feel extra tired work, right now.
Look, Christy Yamaguchi, man, I see you. I seize you with that ether, a.k.a. I promise you I'm gonna bless everybody with that second ether verse. But for now, I'm just Miles. Just hanging out with y'all. Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Somebody else who gives us ether, who writes ethers for us, is in our third seat today, coming to us all the way from north of the border, I think, Canada is. He is the brilliant, the talented J.M. McNabb.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, man.
Hey. You're welcome, JM. You're welcome, Canada. We did it. You're welcome.
Woo, saved your ass.
Oh my God. What is this?
What was that like? What's it like?
Being up here during an election?
Yeah.
The same.
Yeah, right.
I did look up, like, because, you know, I was watching cable news like everyone to see how it was all playing out, and I saw the celebrations in the streets. And then I looked up to see, because I don't leave my house anymore.
Yeah.
Because of all the stuff. So I looked up on Twitter to see if there was a celebration in Toronto at all. And there was a small gathering, but they were immediately dwarfed by like an anti-masker rally that was happening downtown.
In Toronto?
In Toronto, yeah.
Oh, man.
Because I think we Freaky Friday'd with you guys. I think that's what's going to happen. We're just going to start having more and more.
We peed in the same fountain, and it was a magical fountain. Yeah. That's how the switcheroo happens in that movie, The Switcheroo, I think. I don't know. The one switch movie with Jason Bateman that nobody saw. They peed in a fountain, and then...
Oh, yeah, he, like, pees in a fountain with
Ryan Reynolds. And then, the point of switcheroo movies is supposed to be that unlike people have to live in the body of somebody they're not like. And Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds, two guys who are like cocky, like same aged white guys, switcheroo. It's like, whoa.
Right.
I'm a different kind of handsome now.
Whoa.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm adorkable now.
Yeah. All right. Well, JM, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're talking about the COVID-19 vaccine that was announced that is 90% effective, which I didn't know whether to be impressed by that or not. Yeah. We'll talk about what that means.
Getting the microchip in you.
Yeah. Fox thinks it's very suspicious that that vaccine was announced after the election.
Yeah. Oh, now you got a vaccine.
They got some theories.
God.
I mean, to be honest, if I was a Trump supporter, I definitely would be like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
And if I was at Pfizer, I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, we did that.
Yeah, seriously. Fuck y'all.
like, yeah.
if you're a company that like thrives on believing in science, I think it's you're within your rights. We're going to talk about the terrifying things the president is doing today. We're going to talk about why this transition is going to be a fucking mess and some historical precedent for that. We'll talk about the Trump supporters, how they're digging in their heels. They've already spun off from this version of reality.
Michelle Bachmann is calling out God himself.
Oh, a word?
That's the stage we're at. Like, people are trying to speak to the manager of heaven.
Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, man. We're going to talk about one conspiracy theory, Jam, you looked into. If you hear people talking about the hammer and the scorecard, get ready to just have your brain filled with a load of wild bullshit. We'll talk about that.
My favorite dive bars.
Yeah, yeah. The hammer and the scorecard.
Where you at? The scorecard or the hammer? Scorecard. All right.
The hammer is a socialist bar, but the scorecard is the opposite. They're rival bars on opposite corners in Milwaukee.
In Wayne's World 2, where they held the fundraiser for Wayne Stock. Remember, like, it was like, remember, like, that party they had? It was like at a Lenin themed bar.
Oh,
yeah. Right. With all the like monuments.
Yeah, yeah. Like it was like that a was toppled weird. Lenin outside. It's like, so it will be a communist party. I remember it was a joke, and I was like, this show's sick.
I love that movie. St. Louis, the McCloskeys. We're checking in with the McCloskeys of St.
Oh
Louis.
Oh my God.
They're in the running. They're definitely in the running to be nominated for 2020's most notable shitty white people. They probably don't have a chance with just the year that we've had, but they could be nominated.
Oh yeah.
JM, before we get to any of that, what's something from your search history that will allow us to judge you?
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, I guess you can judge me for this.
Wow, new tone on the top of the show.
Yeah, I like to make
it. Well, we have your search history right here, and it says... I've been watching a lot of Murder, She Wrote this fall.
Hell yeah.
I find it alleviates a lot of anxiety. Yeah, it's... Yeah. There's two, because I was really trying to unpack why I find it so calming. I think it's because you can watch an episode and everything gets solved in, you know, 42 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't live in Cabot Cove where the murder rate is the highest in the entire history of the world, right. Of any town.
Right. Yeah, three murders a week.
Everyone in that town is having an affair with everyone else. Everyone's plotting to kill someone. It's the worst place to live. But yeah, I find it's very calming, oddly, and also like I find like my anxiety about like aging and mortality are oddly soothed by it, because you think about Angela Lansbury, like she's still alive and she's been an old lady my entire life.
She's still alive. That's wild, man.
She came here to Toronto and did like a stage show, like a play a few years ago. And I wish I'd gone now. But
Angela Lansbury is still alive.
Yeah. I mean, I hope nothing still happens between when we record this and when it
drops.
Damn,
she's 95.
Hell yeah.
Wow. Wow. Good on you, Angela.
So yeah, that makes me happy. So I've been watching Murder, She Wrote. I think I tweeted something out about it and someone responded that Angela Lansbury's daughter used to hang out with Charles Manson. So I Googled that. That was something that I felt I had to look into it. And it was just something she like dropped in an interview for no reason. She just brought up that
she's like, Charlie? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we used to kick it with Charlie.
Yeah, I remember we were all writing songs together for a little bit. It's a shame those albums never got traction. But have you heard those Manson family recordings?
It's like shitty Beach Boys. It's like Beach
like
Boys written by...
Well, they did one of his songs.
It's unsettling.
Because he was hanging out with one of them.
Yeah, Dennis, I think.
Dennis, yeah.
Haysbert. or a super producer on it, wasn't he? Called him Dennis Hazelberger.
What's funny how, and this is a complete aside, how our idea of Dennis Haysbert has evolved over time based on how old you are. Like if you're consuming 80s media, you know him from Major League.
I used
to just think he was Joe Boo, not even Pedro Serrano, which was his actual player name, but Joe Boo, the idol he would fucking worship, which is all kinds of fucked up and problematic. And then after that, when he was on 24, and I was like, oh my God, Joe Boo's working still? And then people were like, Dennis Haysbert is putting in a performance. Like, oh shit, Dennis Haysbert. But then some people only know him as the, Allstate guy?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. He's Dennis Haysbert.
Dave Chappelle played him in a sketch over the weekend, which is why we were talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty funny.
Yes,
he had like a voice changer on SNL. Oh, by the way, have you seen the original... the Manchurian Candidate. Angela Lansbury is in that.
No, I've not.
And very pretty, but also playing like an older woman. In 1962, she's playing like, it's not like she's like a young, like, you know, the love interest. She's the love interest of the older politician and like secretly pulling the strings behind the scenes.
She was only like 10 years older than Lawrence Harvey, who played her son. That movie.
Oh, really?
They still had, since she had old lady energy back then.
Yeah. Oh, she was his mom, not his wife?
Yeah, I think
that's
she was his mom.
Wild. That's right, because he was like a young soldier.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. What is something you think is underrated?
My underrated and overrated are pretty like kid-centric, because, again, I haven't left the house, so I spend 90% of my time with my kids these days.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
You spend 90% of your time with your kids. Oh my god.
That's all the people I talk to now are small children, and luckily they're super cool and I love them, so that worked out. But
it's hard though, man. Kid brain, you like when you're only hanging out with kids, like you get kid brain, and then my wife was out of town for a couple weeks and it was just me and my kids, and like when I would get back around adults, I would be like just in it, incapable of like saying anything like that made sense, or I was just like on a different wavelength.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of feedback from the episodes the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, the baby talk was not popular. Yeah.
Why did he?
Yeah, I find sometimes like I'll just say to a friend or even my wife, I'll accidentally call them buddy. Like, hey, how about we try this, buddy?
Come on, bud.
Anyway, for my underrated, I found in my old room at my parents' house, I found my old Waldo books, Where's Waldo?
Yeah.
So I brought those home. Kids loved them. And yeah. I found them very, again, a lot of these things are about like alleviating anxiety for some reason, but like I got into them too. I found it very like stress relieving to like just sit there for a few minutes and try to find Waldo.
Yeah.
It was great.
And you know, man. You don't have to only find Waldo. You can go deep Where's Waldo Stan from right. a couple months ago, actually. There's like lists of things for you to look for. So you like once you find Waldo, it's not over. You can still explore. Yeah.
You can find the guy in the grassy knoll, you know, and all that kind of stuff. That's what I love right. about those books.
That's right.
It's funny that you mentioned that because I remember like when I was like 18 or something, I had picked up one of my old Where's Waldo things that I hadn't maybe looked at since I was like 6. And it's amazing how immediately like you remember the ones you really like. The one I think I wears like the second Where's Waldo book, but there's like a beach one that I'm like, oh, this was my favorite one to stare at for whatever reason. And I remember how at a certain point you begin to memorize vaguely where Waldo was every time you opened it as a kid. So they would kind of become less stimulating.
Right.
I remember one time some asshole circled Waldo in my book, beat this motherfucker to death with the book because I was like, you do not desecrate this book by marking where he is. That's the fucking fun, or else it's useless now. And I ripped the sheet out, and I was crying. I was a mess, man. So don't leave my fucking Waldo books alone.
Man, I'm sorry I brought that up now.
I feel like, so your kids are young, right? Like they're...
Yeah, one's 5 and one's 2.
Yeah. I now feel very stupid because I think I was still looking at that. Like, I can picture the bedroom that I was in when I was looking at them. And that I was in that bedroom from, like, when I was 8 until when I was, like, 13. So,
some of those are hard, man.
No, they are hard. You know, I was
doing the Menta Where's Waldo.
The difference between the first one and like the third and fourth one is crazy. Like I was legitimately having trouble with the later ones. He's like, you know, he could see like a sliver of his head in this crowd. Yeah. And the first one, he's just like, you know, like 2 inches tall in the middle of the page, just like walking down the street.
Oh, there he is. Yeah.
With his like walking cane. Or then they do the ones where like someone would have his hat on and you're like, it's just somebody in this fucking outfit. They're throwing decoys into the mix.
Yeah. What is something you think is overrated, Jim?
Overrated in the same vein of stuff I've been doing with my kids. Someone gave my son an Etch-a-Sketch recently.
Okay.
And I remembered it very nostalgically from being a kid, and it sucks. It's a useless product that you can't draw good pictures with it. If you do somehow manage to twist the knobs into making a good picture, like, you can never save it. Someone will jostle it and it will be gone forever. And my kids have no interest in it either. Cause I try to explain why they say, what do you do with it? And I say, well, it's like drawing with a piece of paper and a crayon, except it's worse and it's harder and there's no applications for it in the real world.
It's like you're tuning a shitty radio and that's it. It's like, it's good for about like maybe one. I remember cause I had one too. And I only could fuck with it for maybe 1 minute before I became so frustrated that I could not actually do what I thought I was able to do. Like, because you have to really have, like, to be able to make sense of those knobs and how they're moving to, like, actually draw something. Half the time, I'll just twist them in circles and make wild shit. And then I would just, like, twist the knobs to, like, their, like, end point and be like, get the fuck, I'm going to break these fucking knobs. Minute was gone. I was angry
at it.
Start
clicking. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a knob boy. Growing up, I loved a good knob game, the Labyrinth, and even I didn't really fuck with the Etch-a-Sketch.
Knob City.
Yeah, Knob City. But there are definitely people who are into it, but I feel like it's older people who are like really artistic, and they're into it for the same reason that like knitting is like soothing, where it's just like it gives you an extra challenge to like do something fun and artistic. But like I never got the point of that shit when I was younger.
Did you play the Labyrinth game a lot?
Yeah, I was
you did?
Real into Labyrinth. I could go to the end and back like 4 times.
Because that used like a similar skill set where you're sort of deciding those planes based on the knobs, but that was always easier for me to like put the time into versus like, because I'm not good at drawing anyway. It just was a reminder of how how little talent I had in that department.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry I brought that up too.
It's fine. It's just...
all
they're just, not as easy as they look, man. Yeah. They're not as easy as they look.
That's right. All right, let's talk about some really good news that just hit. So Pfizer announced that they got their early results back from their vaccine trials, and early numbers suggest that this vaccine they're working on is 90% effective, which is apparently good news. Dr. Fauci was like, hell yeah. So that's how I knew it was good news. But then like I did a little bit more research. The flu shot is apparently between like 40 and 60% effective based on like whatever year you get it, because they're having to like rejigger it to, you know, apply to that year's strain of influenza. And then like the vaccines that actually eradicate diseases like polio and measles are like in the 90s. They're like polio was 90 for two doses. Measles is 99%. Effective. So like that's pretty promising.
Good numbers.
Pretty exciting. Okay. Yeah. So
as long as scientists are excited, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like scientists are excited.
I'm like, just like what's the science excitement meter say?
So the lab that kind of made the breakthrough is called BioNTech, which sounds very scary and like dystopian. But they were funded by the German government and a European investment bank. So that's the Trump administration obviously has jumped on, been like, see, Operation Warp Speed, we're the speediest.
They are fucking really trying to. I don't know what they're trying to. It's like, I don't understand. I mean, this would have happened because of Trump, and I don't know. No one's talking about that because this is all we should all be thinking Trump right now, but. They're really, really, really trying to commandeer this development to try and be like, you see, and that's why he should have been elected. I don't know. It's too late now, no matter what they think they're trying to say. Like, you're not scoring points
gets
going
the vaccine.
Into an election. Yeah, right.
There's no vaccine now, guys.
Oh, interesting. Well, I guess we'll just go with our vaccine then.
Yeah, we'll go with ours, which will be better. Pfizer specifically came out and was like, they had nothing to do. We had nothing to do with Operation Warp Speed. But
wasn't Pence trying to say he did?
Like, yeah.
Wasn't they were responding to him, right?
Yeah. Specifically, I think he came out and was like, you're welcome, America.
Dude, shut up, Mike Pence. Get the fuck out of here. Nobody wants to hear from you.
I miss my wife. Yeah.
Well, that ship has set sail. But yeah, Fox... on Fox and Friends, I mean, Fox, they're still, the only self-care I've been doing is watching One America News and Fox, because
so
I
kind
can't,
to yourself. Yeah.
I don't know why that's been the thing that's only made me smile, is to be like, you threw everything except the kitchen sink, you threw that now, and you're still grasping at shit, trying to make sense of reality. But on Monday morning, Charles Payne, who's, you know, just he's on making money on Fox Business. He was talking to Ainsley Earhart on Fox and Friends. And, you know, because it's Fox, everything has to be some kind of grievance or, oh, the president was actually smart the whole time. Ainsley Earhart just sort of starts off by being like, again, oh, so they're announcing this now after. But OK, well, and she posits the question, is the timing curious?
Are you finding the timing curious? We had an election a week ago.
I am finding the timing curious. It's frustrating. You know, it's so interesting. I was watching, toggling around TV yesterday, you know, watching a couple games or whatever, and I saw a commercial for 60 Minutes, and they said, we're going to go into the military's Operation Warp Speed. The military's? they're actually operating it, in fact, at the behest of President Trump. And then there's an article this morning before this came out that was, they're shifting sort of Operation Warp Speed to Biden now. The Washington Post, Biden advisors met with Sharp with the Warp Speed drug makers before the election. But what I thought was intriguing is on the Biden website, it says Operation Warp Speed lacks a strategy to see its mission through and gain the trust of Americans. Well, I wonder what they're going to say today. Are they going to tell people not to take this vaccine that Pfizer is saying is 90% effective?
Okay. It has nothing to do with Operation Warp Speed. Like, that's what are you talking about?
He said
about?
He met with people in it, and now he's saying, but he said it wasn't good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this guy is transitioning into power. So he's trying to see what the fuck is going on. Yeah, yeah. So
also,
but it's 90% effective. So ipso facto, Operation Warp Speed is 90% effective.
Now, just supposing for a moment, and this is, I know, I'm asking you guys to try and wrap your mind around a reality where the deep state and corporations aren't trying to take Trump down from the inside. But like, even then, I feel like it would almost be excusable for them to hold off on announcing a successful vaccine until it like would no longer be associated with him, because he's been so anti-scientific and it's going to be a struggle to get people to take this vaccine. Like,
yeah,
because it's not just about developing the vaccine, it's about like the implementation of it,
right?
Like the distribution of it. So yeah, like I mean, like you said, like so much of it is about how many people will take it, about, you know, making sure that it's effective. So yeah, having like a future where someone who won't totally fuck it up will be in power seems key to that message that they're trying to send.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so many people are like, you know, the razor thin margins Joe Biden won by would have been completely erased had this been announced just 1 week sooner. And it's like, they're not razor thin.
Just
check the numbers. I don't know what kind of razors y'all are looking at, but these are pretty thick, daddy. And even like the way the head of research or the VP in charge of like vaccinations at Pfizer was like unequivocal. She was saying, we've never been part of it, and we've never taken a dime from the U.S. government or from anyone to even suggest we'd be part of it. It wasn't just like, no, that didn't happen. It's like, do you understand how that program worked, right? Like, we weren't anyway, so there have
been I think they did walk that back a bit later, because they said that the U.S. government did pay for like the future like distribution, like buying supplies.
Oh,
but
right,
like Canada
they
has done that too. People, yeah, it's like
the
it's not they didn't fund them at all in terms of like their testing or their research. That was all independently financed or financed by themselves.
That's finance stuff. The overpriced drugs, the other drugs they make that are overpriced.
Yeah. Whatever other shady shit.
Right.
That
you don't need a dime of your
government
money.
Billions of dollars.
So the way the trials worked was actually easier to get your head around than I would have expected, or easier to get my head around. So they've given the trial involves 43,000 people, and half of them are given this new vaccine, and half of them are given a placebo for the meningitis vaccine. And neither they nor their doctors know which is which, right? And then since then, 94 people who were involved in the study have become infected with COVID-19, and 90% of them are from the placebo group. So that's where the 90% number comes from, is that the people who got the actual vaccine were 90% more likely to not come down with COVID.
Hmm.
So there you go. That's how these
studies
work.
I saw a video on TikTok where a cute blonde woman was saying the microchip was going to get into you, and she was crying, and then apparently some off-camera government goons were beating her up. Did you see the video where she's singing along to this song?
Oh, of course.
It's wow. And yeah, that's to your point. I don't even know how if his own supporters believe he's the boy who cried hoax so many goddamn times. Nobody knows anything anymore. Like, it truly was like, is it mail-in or is the mail-in vote fucked? So I don't do that. And then the vaccine's no good, but then I don't.
Yeah.
But I got to give you credit because you saved us.
He seems kind of incapable of the sort of leadership that they say like you are supposed to have during a global pandemic, is just steady, staying on the same message, and then like deferring to the scientists and the doctors. And since he's incapable of that, I feel like this is in better hands with almost literally any other politician, but definitely a new administration. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring the Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. So Trump is out here throwing grenades right out the gate. He's he fired his Secretary of Defense, right?
Yeah, Mark Esper. Just out. Fucking tweet on Monday morning. I am pleased to announce that Christopher C. Miller, the highly respected director of the National Counterterrorism Center, unanimously confirmed by the Senate, will be acting Secretary of Defense, effective immediately. Chris will do a great job. Mark Esper has been terminated. I would like to thank him for his service. Everyone was like, the second Mark Esper didn't fully go along with the Black Lives Matter troop goon squad in the streets sort of strategy, that I think the countdown clock began, because he was basically saying in my capacity as this fucking Secretary of Defense, I do not think U.S. troops should be in the streets to put down protests. I don't think that's the function of the military as I know it. So now it seems like everyone's like, okay, well, who's next? And the money is on Christopher Wray at the FBI and Gina Haspel at the CIA. So,
oh, next to be fired.
Yeah. If he's going to do more impulse firings or whatever, just whatever he thinks he's going to get out of it.
Isn't there a chance that it's not impulse and that it's like part of a plan to install people who will allow him to,
use
the military to.
Of course. And then it's just. But then a lot of people are like, everyone's so deflated in that machine that, yeah, you're going to get there. And there's clearly some fans of the president that are in positions of power that are willing to completely fucking dig their heels in and shit. But yeah, I don't know. It's like so hard. he always has a, there's always some plan to do something with this guy. And then it's always like the shittiest version of it. Like even again with the total landscaping Four Seasons thing, like one of the guys was a literal sex offender who was one of the witnesses.
Oh yeah, I saw that. And he wasn't from Philadelphia either. He was from like New Jersey or something.
He's from New Jersey and he's ran like, he's had unsuccessful runs for office in New Jersey before. And it's like, there, I'm like, this is where like they're at. So who knows?
The total landscaping thing was them being like, we have witnesses to election fraud.
And here's a witness, and people looked into it and they're like, yo, this man is a straight up sex offender. Like he served almost 4 years for like lewdness and endangering the welfare of a minor. And like exposing himself to kids. Like that was the person. They're like, this is our witness to fucking ballot fraud.
Our last stand is going to be a sex offender speaking in the back of an alley.
Next to a sex store, right? Crematorium in defense of another sex offender.
That sex store is like doing really well. Apparently I went to their Facebook and they're thrilled with the publicity. There's a silver lining to this story.
The Ritz-Carlton dildo shop, I think it's called.
Yeah. Right?
All right, let's talk about just what we're looking at for this transition. There is a GSA official. GSA stands for, I'm going to act like I'm quizzing you guys, even though I just don't know what it is.
Come on, Jack.
General Services Administration.
There you go.
Got it. So they're not releasing the funds for Biden to start putting his transition team together. They're on the Trump train of none of this is happening. Trump won. How dare you? Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Oh, in other words, not engaging with that reality. We were talking about how like the presidents who have lost re-election, the incumbents who have lost re-election in our lifetime, or just one, right? It's just George H.W. Bush.
One-termer, yeah.
Yeah. And he was able to, like, he really went out of his way to be like, look, we're going to, like, do the right thing. We're going to, like, be above the fray, all this shit. And like, that's kind of what you need because people are like the people in the administration. Do you remember the story of when after the second term of the Clinton administration, when the George W. Bush administration was coming in, the Clinton administration like removed all the W's from the keyboards as like a fuck you? Yeah.
Which
is like people are petty. And like if you don't have a leader who's like out front being like, yo, like this is how democracy works, then like,
yeah, knock it off.
Yeah, then this is going, we're going to have a complete shit show, which I think is what we're headed for.
Yeah, and this woman who's running General Service GSA, she comes from the fucking RNC, you know what I mean? And she's full on, you know, just here to I don't know, go along with this narrative of like, no, we don't know who won yet. So, yeah, exactly. I'm not doing anything. And this money, specifically, like, when you have a new administration coming in, they need some cash, you know, to start fucking creating office spaces, to begin planning out the transition, to do all the business that a presidential administration would do.
Right.
And it's just sitting on, like, $10 million, like, not releasing it.
Yeah.
All because you want to just say that, like, they said, an ascertainment has not yet been made. In terms of like what is actually going on with this stonewalling. So cool.
Well, if you say it like a mall security guard trying to sound official, then it becomes more official.
Yeah.
Sir, an ascertainment has not yet been made with regards to the electoral situation.
Yes. We're not going to get out in front of the president on transition issues right now because he's crying.
Interestingly, the last time that there was like basically an outright hostile kind of transition was Hoover to FDR And like Hoover was like, this guy's going to fucking, with this New Deal thing, he's going to tank America. Like we're so screwed. And like just believed that he was like the last man standing between the end of America and, you know, the bang up job he was doing. But he like was just openly like trying to like convince FDR that like his way of like dealing with the economy was the right way, which was like a more conservative more conservative politics or more conservative financial setup. And he would also like make statements in the media about like how FDR was like not doing the right thing and like was not listening to him and he was leaking things.
Kind of a shitty guy.
Which like I would have, if somebody had told me that, I would have been like, yeah, but like who had the last laugh? FDR came in and just like had his way. But one thing that kind of gets forgotten is that during, back then it was a 4-month lame duck period, just because it took people a long time to get to DC back then. Like you had to,
right.
You had to take a boat.
And you're like probably moving physical papers.
Right, exactly. Just boxes and boxes of papers. But during that 4-month lame duck period, FDR was on February 15th in Miami, and an unemployed bricklayer fired shots at an open convertible where Roosevelt was seated next to Chicago Mayor Anton Cermak, and a woman in the crowd actually hit the gunman's arm as he was shooting, and that's the only reason that like it didn't kill FDR. The bullet struck the Chicago mayor, and the Chicago mayor died a few weeks later. So,
oh my
God. Wow.
Yeah, but that's the sort of thing, you know, there's that Van Jones TED talk that I was talking about at the end of last week about how important the concession speech is and like having the lame duck president buy into, you know, the transition, the peaceful transition of power, because there is just so much energy and so much anger, you know, among people who are on the losing side that like you're gonna have problems like that.
Yeah. Well, especially because they think it's going to be 1984 or something suddenly. You're like,
right.
What are you talking about? Really? Okay.
Yeah.
They're going to like make me get health care and fucking like probably relieve some debt. I don't know, man. I'm not with this. It's weird how the energy they're talking about certain policies, like on when Trump came into office, you're like, oh my God. Immigrants are going to be fucking savage. Like they're going to be treated like in the most inhumane ways. Islamophobia is going to be on the rise. Black and brown people will have to consider their protection with such an open racist in office. And these people are like, I don't know. They're probably going to like make me get my soy injections.
Right.
These messages were like, the fuck?
It's all culture war shit. It's all abstract culture war shit.
Was it Tucker Carlson or someone who's like, Joe Biden's going to make everyone drink Starbucks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, Joe is that Biden. The worst thing you could think of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is pretty bad. Starbucks coffee is
I would prefer burnt. Something a bit better. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, just listening to the despair and terror and anger from like Trump voters who were being interviewed over the weekend, just... But without any real there, like there wasn't an explanation for what they were afraid of or upset about, other than that they think that Biden cheated to win the election.
And that's a very necessary step. You need to keep your outrage up.
Right.
If you hit the wall, like sort of, even if you're completely like, you know, into some other narrative, the logic road ends when you're like, well, yeah, what evidence? And you're like, they did it. I know that much, but I guess that's been enough for the last, you know, 4 years for these people. But there seems to be also frustration too, because if you're getting pwned by your liberal, you know, coworkers and family members on like Facebook, and you're like, yeah, just show me anything, and you can't, then it's like, argh! Or even like, did you see someone who tweeted at the president who was like, sir, you are the president. You can send the troops in. You need to just do more than tweet. Please, please, sir. And I don't know, man. Alex Trebek, just take it away one more time.
Losers, in other words.
Well,
so it's all just very, very, it's an interesting period for all involved, for people trying to transition into this new administration and other people, I guess, transitioning into a more absurd form of surreality.
So what stops him from sending the troops in? Like, what is it, just his, we're counting on his Republican colleagues and the generals to not?
Yeah, well, I think it, what happens is he says something and not everyone's like, yeah, do that shit. Like, because the stuff that they are, they get done. But there's right. clearly enough, there are enough people who are sort of like, and then it's also like, you also know, like, you pissed off all the generals. So, like, well, you can give that order. Like, who knows if they're going to drag their feet because they don't want to do this. It's all, I don't know. I mean, it seems that he's just rapidly losing political capital, especially now that, like, most people have accepted the results, even if they haven't out loud or in the media to try and keep the base up. But it's just like, you know, they're not fired up like, you know, like it was 2018 or something.
He also just seems exhausted. Like, he does not seem like he could be, you know, out there screaming from the balcony, you know, staging this coup. Like, he just seems like tired and old, and, you know, I don't know if it's true, but there's that report that he's just like eating way too much, even more fast food than usual. And aides are like having to light scented candles in the White House to deal with the constant odor. But
is that true?
I just like,
wait,
that's an actual report.
You made that part up?
No, that was in like a Daily Mail article today. So I don't know if it's true or not, but yeah. I like to think it's true. But I just don't see like him even having like the resolve at this point to do something that dramatic. Like, I just see him whining and moaning and just going on Twitter until they have to throw him out.
Yeah. I mean, or someone like him just goes to fucking Mar-a-Lago and just doesn't come back.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Who gives a fuck? They'll send my shit.
Technically, I'm at the Winter White House. It's still the White House.
The thing we'll see, I mean, I think the thing that'll be very telling is what these rallies look like, because that's the next step we're hearing is, while the lawyers are out there filing just fucking whack-ass non-substantive cases or lawsuits to try and get a recount or upend the results, which isn't going to happen, he is saying, or they're all saying, that he wants to get out there and do some rallies to like really keep the energy up. But like, they're saying like in a couple weeks. And if you're smart, you're like, dude, you don't have a couple weeks. Like, if you're going to be doing that, you needed to be out there every day since Tuesday.
That's what I mean. He's too tired. Like, did you hear him, like, the interviews he gave on Election Day? He sounded like Harvey Fierstein or something. Like, his voice was just shot.
So froggy.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's gonna be a lot of energy at those rallies, just based on like what you're hearing from the people who voted for him. They really think that they're like, they fully believe the election's being stolen from them, which, you know,
from the people. Yeah. That's
why
he should not, Joe Biden should not be cruising around in convertibles right now.
That's right.
With the mayor of Chicago.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say, just to further demonstrate how deep people are going to go into their own minds and into the spiritual realm to try and correct this result. Michelle Bachmann, the wonderful horseshit congressperson from Minnesota, she is just out here. I'm just going to play this. She's like on her selfie videos, just trying to get God to wake up. God, please.
I ask, oh God, that you would take your iron rod, and I ask that you would smash the clay jar of deceit in America. Smash the clay jar of delusion in the United States of America.
Yes, please do.
Smash the delusion,
please.
Father, of Joe Biden as our president. He is not. Would you take your iron rod and smash the strong delusion that Nancy Pelosi does have her House of Representatives? We don't know that. Smash it in Jesus' name. Smash, Lord, the takeover of the U.S. Senate by Chuck Schumer. Lord, smash it with your iron rod.
Smash, smash, smash is what we need fucking God to come through with. Please, 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 Dominatrix Daddy, smash me with your iron rod so I can bust out this clay jar of delusion. It's, yeah. So now we're praying for God to change the news narrative. I don't know.
That seems to be more prevalent among adults on that side of the aisle than I would have expected. Maybe everywhere, but this notion of God as somebody who like does things for you and like you can appeal to for sports wins and stuff.
God, we didn't ask for a single thing during the pandemic. Just give us this one.
God as Santa Claus. God as politics Santa Claus. Yeah.
It's, I mean, that's how most people become atheists.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're raised around religion, you're like, and what happens?
Yeah.
And then you're going to pray and then you're going to get something? Yeah. Or what happened? And wait, this dude died so I could, because I'm going to jerk off?
Right.
Is why he died? I'm sorry, this is a lot to handle. And already I very vividly remember when God left my life, when I wanted a motherfucking Nintendo for Christmas.
Right.
And I prayed because in my school, I went to Lutheran school, and like that's how they're setting up this relationship to you and God. Like, you pray, and then God will answer you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, cool. I need this motherfucking Nintendo because I'm trying to play Battletoads. And I didn't get it, and I was done.
Yeah,
my heart turned black, and nothing could happen. Even if I did get Mario Paint and a Super Nintendo the following Christmas, the ship had set sail, and I was going into the darkness of a godless world. So, yeah, but even then, it's, I don't know, you hate to see it. You hate to see it for those people.
I do feel like the, you know, expecting them to come around to any version of reality where Trump lost is like expecting Christians to be like, yeah, you know what? Jesus did get pwned by Pontius Pilate. Like, I just think that is not happening for them. Like, that's, their brain is never going to go in that direction.
I mean, if it's the same narrative, they should look at truly as Trump as a Christ figure. Because I'm sure somebody was like, Jesus, I would hate to tell you this, but you are the Son of God. You don't have to be crucified right now. You know, you don't have to do this right now, just so you know. I don't want to see this. But if they're going through it, then maybe he does have to do that and then go to Mar-a-Lago for 4 years.
Yeah.
And then he will be risen 4 years later.
Step out from the cave. They went to Mar-a-Lago, but his body was not there. He was going to the White House with
a... just a shroud with orange makeup stains on it.
Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about that.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And JM, you dove in and did some research into this conspiracy theory that's starting to crop up more and more, that's called the Hammer, or it's around a computer, a supercomputer called the Hammer, and a piece of software called the Scorecard that comes from this dude, Dennis Montgomery, who is a fascinating figure I didn't know about.
Yeah, me neither. I thought this was really fascinating. He runs, of course, we know now, he runs the deep state computer that hacked all the votes and gave Biden the win, which is called the Hammer. And I guess the software is called
the Scorecard.
The software Scorecard.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess this is picking up traction. Like, Bannon and people have been talking about it on podcasts. And like, I searched on Twitter, and certainly there were a lot of like either bots or, you know, sort of alt-right trolls tweeting about the Hammer. But so it's all kind of based on the idea that this whistleblower, Dennis Montgomery, who used to be like a CIA kind of contractor, was kind of blowing the lid off of this Hammer computer narrative. But like, it's so easy to just look him up. Like, he has a Wikipedia page that just has all of these crazy exploits that he's been involved with. Like, the wackiest one was after 9/11 in the early 2000s, he got more than $20 million in government contracts for his patented software that would, quote, find terrorist plots in hidden in broadcasts in Al Jazeera.
That's
He got how much? Wait, the
20
government
million.
The government paid him more than $20 million too. He said like you could like freeze Al Jazeera shows and like decode the pixels on the TV that would give you times and coordinates for where to find the next terrorist plot. And this wasn't just like a random thing they paid money for and didn't like heed the advice of, like, flights were grounded as a result of this. Like, a counter-terrorist operation went through on Obama's inauguration day, apparently, because of this. Like, and it was just obviously a total scam. Like, it's a con.
Holy shit. That's so brilliant, though, of like weaponizing Islamophobia for your con job. It's almost right. Like what Yasser Lester does with like Fedoras for Freedom, about being like, watch this. I'll tell these white people wear a fedora to show you're an ally of the Black Lives Matter movement. Like, yep. I'll weaponize that. And this one's like, yeah, just so you know, because you're so afraid of Muslims that I have a thing that will descramble their TV shows and reveal the hidden message, because you already are so fucking far gone that you're like, yep, that's
tracks. Like the glasses and They Live. They just like show you the reality.
That's what people said about like the devil working through He-Man when we were kids.
Mm-hmm. The devil does work through He-Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's like other things, like he was...
Come on,
he
keep
was...
it moving, Jam. Let's not get too hung up on that. The devil does work through He-Man.
Okay, obviously. Okay.
Come on, man.
He was like a confidential informant for Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who like conned him out of $120,000, claiming to
he have conned used Arpaio his... out of $120,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Using his supercomputer to prove a conspiracy between like the judge in his mm-hmm. racial discrimination case and mm-hmm. and the prosecutor. Mm-hmm. And then he was also
grifting desperate racists.
Yeah,
this guy's kind of a hero.
Yeah,
it's kind of amazing, really. I mean, I don't know why this isn't like a podcast or a mini series or something.
It's unbelievable. I can't believe that this guy actually exists and has gotten that rich off of this stuff.
Wait, so yeah. How does he now factor into this election?
Well, you see, the main ingredient in all of these is that he has a supercomputer called the Hammer that he's able to use to decode.
Oh, he's been using the Hammer.
Yeah, he's been using the Hammer. He created the Hammer a long time ago.
Gotcha.
He's a computer god, Tony Stark, and he has been using the Hammer to like dig into all this information and decode Al Jazeera. And now,
swing it for Biden.
Yeah, now he's claiming that they used his computer to steal the election, and now he's like blowing the whistle. Yeah. Is that right, Jam?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And there's even more stuff. Ad. There's even more stories, but yeah, it's worth reading about because just a fascinating sequence, and just also like the idea that he's one of the, or at least like his kind of theories are one of the conspiracies that people are using in this election, when there's just so many examples of him literally using the same supercomputer narrative in these cons. Right. It's amazing. It's hilarious. And yeah, please make this a mini series with Paul Giamatti or someone like
One thing is, I don't think anyone would, like the people who are buying into the idea that Biden used a supercomputer to steal the election are probably not skeptical of the idea that he could use his supercomputer to decode Al Jazeera and find out like the coordinates of the next terror attack like that.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. They're probably just like, yeah, of course, man, this guy's a credible source. He's the guy who stopped all those terror attacks.
In that reality, because their lives are so boring, all of the data is out there for them to solve crimes from the comfort of their homes.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's actually, you just pause Al Jazeera and you look at that and that's how you save the country. Actually, if you just go to this pizza restaurant and check out the basement, you might be able to stop a child trafficking ring. Actually, if you just look at the first letter of each word in this article, it spells out the storm is coming. Therefore, it's like, ooh, wow. So if nothing requires expertise, then everyone's an expert. And that's like the real danger with all this shit.
It does feel like all of these conspiracies are coming from someone just like looking around their room trying to decide like, there is a pizza parlor conspiracy and TV and
right. It's just like shitty verbal Kent from Usual Suspects.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, that's literally what they did, because like the whole Pizzagate conspiracy came from a email dump, right? So like the WikiLeaks email dump, and they just went through the random, boring, monotonous day-to-day shit that people email about and like crafted a conspiracy out of that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the McCloskeys real quick. I always like to check in with them.
Man. They're going through it.
Yeah.
They're really going through it. I want to pray for them.
Yes.
If you don't know who they are, and that's why I have this somber tone, is that the McCloskeys is that lawyer couple from St. Louis that pulled the straps out on the peaceful protesters who were marching through their gated community, if you remember. Very famously, the probably the most famous photo is the one with the woman with her hand on her hip with the little handgun.
With a little handgun.
Like, I'm a little Pol Pot, short and stout. Here is my handle. Here is my nine. So this couple is now suing the photographer who took that specific photo. Because I think we all, whenever we think of the McCloskeys, it's just the like mustard
stain. That
stained.
One picture, yeah.
Yeah, like them just like, oh God, honey, let me get my AR and you get your little gun and we'll fight against progress. So... they are now, so apparently they're lawyers, and they have been, apparently they're like very litigious. They're saying even before all this shit went down in the summer, like they're just, this is how they get down. They like to sue people or threaten people with lawsuits. And they're suing this UPI photographer for this photo because that photo has, quote, contributed to their significant national recognition and infamy. Okay, and in addition to suing the photographer and the news service, they're also suing that company Redbubble, you know, where like you can just get shit printed on a coffee mug or like a fucking phone case or like whatever, you know, like all those, there's like plenty of businesses like that. They're suing Redbubble too because they're saying their image has proliferated across the world. And they say that with Redbubble and Greenblatt, the photographer, they are profiting from t-shirts, masks, and other items and licensing use of photographs bearing their likeness without obtaining their consent. And they said, often their image on merchandise sold by Redbubble is accompanied with, quote, mocking and pejorative taglines or captions, causing them, quote, humiliation, mental anguish, and severe emotional distress. Also, they also point out that these people themselves used that photo on a personal greeting card they made and sent out to fucking people.
Wow.
To be like, ha ha, stunting on them. You see us. And now they're like, oh, we're suing. That's just that. So now they're saying, they've humiliated us and now we need to sue. I guess they know very clearly that I think as many people realize that the white supremacist Mario star that everyone was like glowing with the last 4 years being like, we can do anything. Yeah. That shit's wearing off now. And they're like, oh, I can't blow through walls like I used to anymore. Like I'm straight up going like they're going to remember me as this racist trash couple who should not be practicing law.
Yeah.
Oh man, if they don't like having cameras pointed at them, wait till they find out what guns are like.
Yeah.
I've heard people really don't like having guns pointed at them.
Sure. And I mean, of course, for them, all their notoriety and infamy, I mean, it's not like they turned down the opportunity to speak at the Republican at the RNC, National Convention either.
Yeah. Like, they seemed really concerned see where this goes. About all that recognition.
What do you think that's like? Like, obviously, they feel some type of way about it because they know, like, aside from the little group of other, you know, skeevy racists they hang out with who might pat them on the back, there's those moments where people like, they're like, did you, I don't know if you saw, we were in another post again from that one meme company. And it really makes us look bad, honey. I don't know. I think we should sue. Like if it's getting to them, if in their own family, people keep talking about them, but, well.
I mean, they're so associated with that, those outfits too. Like, I don't know that I'd recognize either of them in a Panera bread. So, I wonder if they're suing for being made to throw out those outfits. Like, they can't wear those outfits in public anymore.
Well, I mean, the mustard stains on his pink polo shirt may have already been a loss anyway.
Right.
And then her striped, I remember, she had a black and white striped shirt. He had a pink polo.
Yeah.
And they both were stained with mustard.
Yeah. Hey, we've all been there.
Well, I mean, she looked like one of, like, the henchmen from the old Batman TV show.
Yeah.
Like, she looked like she was already a cartoon villain.
The burglar. Whole thing, it's all very cartoonish and 2020. It's weird how we've had like those moments and then other ones like where I actually felt good too, like suddenly.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's starting to become like more surreal as the calendar year clocks down.
Yeah, the fact that was in June, like you could have told me that was in March or you could have told me it was last week.
In 2017.
Like, yeah.
I was like, I remember Trump was inaugurated and then the McCloskeys pointed guns at people. Yep, right. I remember them.
It was right after FDR almost got shot.
Yeah. That amazing flag fight with Hoover, who, you know, obviously handled the economy so well. It's not like inside-out pockets were known as Hoover flags back then.
I mean, that's just good branding by FDR. Guy knew what he was doing.
Yeah, that's who suppressed the vote. The guy who came up with Hoovervilles and Hoover flags. That's who cost me the election.
JM, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Where can people find you and follow you?
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. You can find me on Twitter at JM McNabb again. I also co-host a movie podcast, Rewatchability. You can find that anywhere you get podcasts.
Yeah. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, I don't know if you guys watched Gravity Falls, but the guy who created it and does a lot of the voices, Alex Hirsch, has been calling into the Trump voter fraud hotline as Gravity Falls characters, which has been pretty enjoyable. So if you go to him, he's @_AlexHirsch on Twitter.
Miles, where can people find you and follow you, and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh man, I've been on Twitter and Instagram as Miles of Gray. That's where you can find me there. I haven't been on, I don't know. I did see this one tweet. I will say someone retweeted it just because the levels of denial are really something else. Someone is comparing the vote count in the state of Washington, saying like, okay, so this is weird. Like over 3.8 million votes were cast in Washington, yet there's only 684,000 people that live in Washington. And in this person's screen caps, they don't even see that the population they're looking at is the population of Washington District of Columbia, D.C., the very small part of the country where the capital is.
Nailed it.
And the state of Washington, and still
game
out here
set,
like
match.
They're like, what the fuck is going on in our country? Clearly, it's a failure of the education system, for starters. Though that's point one. And then from there, who knows? I mean, white supremacy is completely rotten people's brains. So it's a few different things.
Mm-hmm. Tweet I've been enjoying. Dan White tweeted, just found out my dentist doesn't buy back old teeth. Thought it was like a GameStop situation. Apparently, they, quote, have literally no use for old teeth, quote, couldn't use them if they wanted to, and, quote, need some kind of explanation for where all these teeth came from. I love that guy. You can find me on Twitter, @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on, Miles. What are we riding out on today?
Just high energy, you know. We're just gonna get our shoulders shaking, our toes tapping. This is a track from Yusuf Days and Pas Aliyu. It's called Frontline, and it's just got like, dude, Yusuf's so nasty on the drums. And I've played other works of his before, but this one, it just got like, it's almost like kind of, you know, drum and bassy live drums, just good energy. So that's what we need. Just start. I'm trying to reinvigorate my body because I am exhausted. I think I keep saying that, but I'm really, I, like, as the days wear on from Tuesday, I'm like more and more like, what
the fuck
have
happened?
I become a husk, yeah, of a man.
I feel more like completely worn out from the last week, and I feel like I need to give myself that. Like,
yeah, well, it's weird because we started this show as like a response to the administration.
Yeah.
And then like we've gotten to this point and now it's like, fuck, and there's still so much more to do. Ugh. But also like I think all people need to figure out how to give themselves just a moment of reflection and rest, because like it's not over. And the only way we're going to keep going is if we properly take a rest. Properly acknowledge the victories around you, feel good, because you got to keep the batteries got to be full to stay in it. So, you know,
that's right.
We'll be figuring out ways to charge our batteries.
I'm telling you, Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think I might hop in on, because I loved, I remember as a kid, I loved it because I was like, oh man, look at this nice lady.
My best friend Chris got real into Murder, She Wrote after we graduated from college. Like, talked about literally nothing else. And we're just like,
I was like, dude, honestly, it's the GOAT show. I don't know. Like,
yeah. All right. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Me neighbor knows they don't run too. Can be a bad habit that they couldn't take. Follow my rules till I rise and take. Grave your shifts of the day and night. Just my food that the scenes won't take. For my money I made a grand elevate. And they pray for my sins for my devilish ways. For my money I made a grand elevate. Who that's been on these devilish ways? They don't know about the block life. Still doing mother in the front line. They are on what I'm on right. Still doing mother in the front line. They grow by the block side. Still doing mother in the front line. Niggas still gully in the sick side.
still doing my thing. Save my life. What's up, baby? No, my life. I swear I fell in love with Amina.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.